2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 13. Last week we considered Paul, his purpose, his example, and verse 10 said that Timothy followed Paul's teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering. We have all the excellent qualities of the Apostle Paul, and thank God this example was in the eyes of young Timothy. There were other examples, like those charlatans that crept into houses and took captive whole houses, and then evil men and seducers, but Timothy had, until now, followed Paul, his ways, his example, and then look at verse 14. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, that he has been following, that he did follow, that is good. But there are always periods of discouragement, and we need encouragement to stand fast. We'll see. So now let's just read from verse 14. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, and it's a very young child, a babe, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, being inspired of God, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Paul, concerning his own past life, says in Philippians 3, forgetting those things that are behind. It's not the failures, but the successes. And that you and I have been saved how many years, have been faithful that long, it does not mean of necessity that we shall continue to be. The New Testament has scattered examples, and they are heartbreaking, of couples like Ananias and Sapphira, men like Diotrephes, men like Demas, who forsook Paul and went to some other place. And here is Timothy, and there was also Titus that Paul could use. And now he's telling Timothy, he says, but abide thou in the things which thou hast learned. First of all, this advice would not have been given to me from the things that I learned as a child, because the exhortation was for me to depart from the things that I had learned, because as a child, it was conveyed to me, I know not how, that if you did good, if you went to church, if you were baptized, somehow all of those things came to me. I had known those things, and they were the things that filled my mind, and I was not to abide in those things that I learned as a young man, but I was to hear another message, and I was to depart from those things that I had learned as a young man. And remember also that the Apostle Peter and the others as well were told this. He said, speaking in his first epistle, Peter says that the traditions of their fathers, the empty traditions of their fathers, they were not to follow to believe in anymore. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain manner of life handed down by your fathers. Here were traditions, and concerning Paul himself, and concerning Peter and the other apostles, what they would be exhorted to do was not to abide in what they had learned, but to depart from what they had learned. Nicodemus had to depart from what he had been taught. He had to be born again. But this is why you should thank God if you were brought up in a Christian home, if you had an environment in which the truth of God was present, and what you learned as a child, you may have departed from it for a season, but away from God, you could think on those things and come back to them. Do you remember that younger son in the far country? He wanted to get away from his father, but when he was away from his father, he thought back on the things of home and said, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And he thought about those things of the past. What is so sad is that some would flee from home, not for the reason of that younger son, because the home was good, but they flee from home because it is evil, and no persuasion can get them to go back. But rejoice if you have been brought up in a Christian home, have been taught the ways of God, and in a far country, you came to yourself, and then you could return and you could rest upon the things that you had been taught as a young man. How little value people place upon those things. Like when the Apostle Paul was speaking of his citizenship, he said, I was born a citizen. But this Roman said, it cost me a great amount to become a citizen. Paul said, I was born a citizen. Well, he may have had less appreciation of it because of that. But some of you who were brought up in a Christian home, you might say, well, I was brought up in a Christian home. If you were not brought up in a Christian home, and the light of the truth of God flooded upon your soul, you know how great and how valuable that truth is, and you can understand the opportunity, the advantages that Timothy had being brought up in that Christian home. For generation after generation, and his was the third generation. Remember, your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and yourself. Three generations. Now, this is what he's told in verse 14. Abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Let me put a note of caution here. I know many well-meaning, emotional people that will teach you and assure you many things. But the Bible tells us this. It says, desiring to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say nor whereof they confidently affirm. Now suppose you had been taught by a person like that. You would say, well, I learned from that person and I was assured by that person. But it said, they desire to be teachers of the law, but they do not understand what they are saying, nor whereof they confidently affirm. Thank God there are some who accurately teach the things of God, and those persons can assure you, and the Spirit of God can persuade you and give you a conviction that you can rest upon for the rest of your life. I rejoice in this, that having first been led to Christ by good evangelical Christian sailors, I've never had to depart from any major doctrine that they taught me. Concerning church truth, they did not know about gathering to the name of the Lord, but they did know about communion, and they also knew about baptism and the Lord's Supper. They knew those things. They knew the Lord Jesus was coming. They knew that the scriptures were inspired. And the only thing I've ever had to do from the inception of my life as a Christian was to simply make slight variations, more accurate interpretations of the Word of God, but no major doctrine have I ever had to set aside. Now that's a remarkable thing, that from the age of 19, and I'm now 64, I've never been led astray only in details of the things that are basic to Christianity. And this was so concerning Timothy. I'm thinking of this, though. I'm thinking of Timothy's mother, Eunice, and what she would say to Timothy about marrying a foreigner who did not see to it that Timothy on the eighth day was circumcised, that the law was not carried out. I wonder about that. But Timothy knew later on, and then Paul straightened out a few things that were not in harmony with the overall teachings of the Word of God. So now that Timothy has been brought up by his parents, and he has been in the presence of Paul and Silas and other excellent teachers, this is the exhortation that is given to him. Abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And that is a consolation. I know some right now, and the ones that live next door to me, when they first came to me, they were seeking to convert me, and after one conversation, they found out that they had eternal life and they would never perish, and they left one church that they were a member of, and then they went to another church, and they listened to what was preached there, and they said, that is wrong. And so now they've been coming here a little bit, so understand that there are those that can abide in the things which they have learned and been assured of, and there are others that have learned a little of the truth, but then they need to be taught the way of God more perfectly. Do you remember Apollos? He was accurate in the things of John the Baptist, but Aquila and Priscilla taught him the way of God more perfectly. So there are some like Timothy that have been taught from their youth. After their youth have been in the presence of Paul and Silas and other men of God, and now they can abide in the things which they have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So just ask yourself this question. The man who taught me this doctrine, did I accept it because of his persuasive power? Did I accept it because it was agreeable with the way that I felt about a subject? Or did the man show me, thus saith the Lord, and I accepted it even though it might grate against some things that were pleasant to me? So many young men come and study with me, and they say, did you say, I said, put that out of your mind. I said, just read the scripture. And if they read the scripture and can see from the scripture without any subtle persuasions, without any influence other than explaining what the Word of God means, then that is a conviction. They have been persuaded, not only taught, but persuaded, and then they will have an immovable conviction. But if not, they'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine, and there is no abiding in the things that they have been taught and have been assured of, because they never get that assurance by those that are able to give them assurance. They do not know how to go about getting assurance. And then, for the Spirit of God, when a man has examined all the scriptures on a subject, the Spirit says, yes. Then, he has been taught, he has been assured of these things, and then he's persuaded in the Lord Jesus that these things are true. But remember that Paul says this, and I will give you the exact words he is speaking concerning some that have followed him so far. And he says, if in anything else you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal to you. Remarkable. Then Paul is speaking to some, but they need to be taken away from erroneous thinking. And if they have erroneous thinking, God promises this. If in anything you are otherwise minded, he says, let us therefore as many as are perfect, mature, full grown, think this way. And he said, and if you are otherwise minded, then God will reveal this unto you. Only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. So as we learn and as we walk, let us seek to be assured of these things, to be persuaded of these things. And as Paul says concerning the resurrection, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The only kind of doctrine that is a worthy doctrine is one that you can rest upon immovably, that does not have to be altered, and you do not have to step off from it, because instead of being a foundation, it turns out to be sinking sand. Be sure that what you believe is thus saith the Lord, and then Paul can say of you, as he said of Timothy, knowing of whom you have learned these things and have been assured of. Now, look at verse 15. And that from a babe, this is the word brephos, it's not just a child, but it's a little babe, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That is what is so precious, that when a little child, when he is learning to say father and mother and other names, if he can utter the name of Jesus our Lord and the truths of the Word of God, then that is the mind of God. This is what is so commendable. Notice, from a babe thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, and they can learn so early in life. Do not wait until late in life and then start teaching them the Word of God. But from their very first ability to conceive and comprehend, you tell them the things of God. And as one would say, I never knew a time in my life when I did not know who Jesus was. What a testimony to a faithful father and mother. Never a time in a child's life when he did not know who Jesus was. Who is this? That is Daddy. Who is this? This is Mother. And who is Jesus? Jesus loves me. This I know. From a child, they can know the things of Scripture, the simple truths. It was so concerning Timothy. Now notice. Notice the way that Paul is speaking of the things that he has learned and why he can abide in them. From those that he's learned, like Paul and the other apostles, and his father, his mother and grandmother, why? It says, from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Then it means that Eunice and Lois taught Timothy as a babe the Holy Scriptures, and he knew them. But there had to come a time in his life, and this is what we must grasp. Look at it carefully. The Word of God will save no one unless they place their faith in the teaching of the Word of God. Listen to it first of all, carefully. From a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible can only do so much for you. It can show you the one in whom you are to place your faith. It can tell you that he was God's Son. He came from heaven and he went to the cross and he died on the cross to save you from your sins. It can make you wise unto salvation. But there will be no salvation unless you place your faith in that Savior that God sent from heaven. But notice, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Word of God can save no man, and a preacher can save no man, but a preacher can open the Scriptures, as Philip did to that Ethiopian eunuch, and can preach Jesus. And then that eunuch would believe in Jesus, and he goes his way rejoicing. There are those who can tell you the way of salvation. The Word of God can show you the way of salvation. But having seen it, you must place your faith in the Holy Scriptures. All right. Look at the way it is described. Two things I must tell you, because there is a little distinction. In verse 15, it says, from a child I was known the Holy Scriptures. And look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, these two words come from the same root word, but they are a little different. And you must grasp the significance of the difference. Why? Because when it says, from a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, the word Scriptures is a word that is used not only of the writings found in the Bible, but other writings as well. When our Savior was hanging on the cross, it says, there was written in letters above his head, And the word letters is this word, scriptures. And it said, how does this man know letters, having never learned? So this word can mean letters of a secular as well as a sacred kind. But when it says from a child that was known the holy scriptures, that contrasts these writings with profane and secular writings. It's necessary to have this adjective or the context to show you that this refers to the Word of God. Holy Scriptures literally is sacred writing. The reason that the word holy or sacred is most important is that two things are put on the same par. It speaks in 1 Corinthians 9 about the priest. It says, do you not know that the priests that minister about the holy things partake of the gifts and sacrifices that they minister among? Remember the words, they minister among the holy things. So all of the things of the tabernacle, all the things of the temple, these were holy things in contrast to secular things. Holy things that the priests ministered around, and there are writings that are secular, and there are holy writings, there are the holy scriptures, and that is what Timothy had known from a child. I'm so glad that early in life I read Pilgrim's Progress and Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I confess that reading secular literature, my father read Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn to me. These were all good books, but they were secular literature. Never in my life can I remember my father or my mother reading any holy scripture to me. But good literature was read to me. So remember this, that no matter how good the literature of the world is, it's not holy scriptures. No matter how many articles they have in all the church buildings today, you will see crosses, you will see chalices, you will see communion tables, and they'll say, these are holy things. God knows nothing about it. One table is as good as another. You can have a prayer meeting by the riverside. You can be saved in a jail. There is no sacred place like the temple that God designated anymore, where two or three are gathered together in my name. But at one time there were holy things that priests ministered about, and there were holy scriptures, sacred writings, and this book is still the sacred writings. And this is what Timothy knew from a babe. But even though he had known it from a babe, what is so remarkable is this. He wasn't converted as a babe, but he was converted when the Apostle Paul came on his missionary journey. When Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, when he came to those places, the Apostle Paul converted Timothy, and he speaks of him as my child in the faith, my true child, my beloved child. So think of that. Even though you've been brought up, you've known the Word of God from an infant, the time must come when you place your faith in what you have taught. And when that happens, that is when you become a child of God. Now, who will get credit for the salvation of Timothy? Paul said, my child in the faith. But understand that Lois and Eunice and all others who had any influence upon him will also get part credit, because they taught him the Holy Scriptures. And when a man does know the Holy Scriptures, the opportunity comes and the Spirit of God sends a particular person along, and that man is able to take the scriptures that a man knows and lead that soul to Christ. He has had in his mind the power of salvation all along, but there must be that placing of faith in those holy scriptures, and that is what makes us saved. The scriptures are able, but faith lays hold on that ability, and then we become children of God. All right. Look at verse 16, and I'm going to read it as fine a translation, even finer than all the new translations that they have today. and you may accept what is in your King James Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is as fine a translation as you're going to get. But now, I told you I was going to explain to you a little bit about the word scripture in verse 16. And the difference is this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This word that is translated scripture occurs 51 times in the New Testament, and every time it always refers to the Word of God. Keep that in mind, first of all, that the Holy Scriptures, they have to be defined, Holy Scriptures, because they are letters, but they are writings and literature that is not holy, secular. But when God says Holy Scripture, or when the context says He opened the Scriptures and read from Isaiah the prophet, you would know. But in this verse 16, all Scripture, the word is never used for anything other than a technical term for the accepted, inspired Bible that Moses and Joshua and Solomon and Isaiah and the other authors, whoever they were, those were the scriptures, and they are always spoken of by this way, and never is there a variation. For this reason, and I want you to see it, you would wonder why in the new translations, because it's no improvement, when they say every scripture inspired of God is profitable, you see, as if there were some scripture that was not inspired of God. It is impossible to place such an interpretation upon this verse. You say, why? Because the word scripture means that it is inspired. And you will find that the finest Greek authority, when it says every scripture, though it says that literally, when the construction is the way that it is, it means all scripture as such. If it's scripture as such, it is inspired. And for that reason, all scripture, being scripture, is inspired of God. And some that are modernists and liberalists, and they would like to take away from our confidence in the inspired Word of God, would say, oh yes, every scripture that's inspired, but you can't believe that portion about Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. That's one of the things that the Savior tells us is inspired, because He says, as Jonah was in the belly of that great fish, the Savior said it was true. And, well, you couldn't believe about fire and brimstone coming down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. And He says, remember Lot's wife. All of these things are inspired. So do not let anyone try to deceive you, saying, oh yes, every scripture inspired of God is profitable. That there is much scripture that is not inspired of God. I told you that the word always means that it is scripture. And it says that all scripture. And so that means in our Bibles, from Genesis to Malachi, all of it is God breathed. That's what the word theopneustos means. It is God, and it's the word breathed. It is brought into existence through human instrumentality, the breath of God producing what I am reading to you this night. Therefore, when Paul, or when Tertius, or when Baruch wrote the Word of God, it meant that the breath of God, God's Spirit, was controlling that man. And even though his personality was not superseded, even though he was not forced to write certain things, the Spirit of God so directed him that he could write what seems to be just an ordinary piece of literature. And yet, when the finished product is examined, it is the inspired Word of God. God breathed. And this is the marvel. Others try to do it, but they can't do it. And they look at portions like this and say, are you telling me that such scriptures as these are inspired. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus bring when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. It's been one of the most valuable portions of the Word of God to me. Understanding that men that I was not permitted to live in their generation, they have written books, and I have learned from those books. And Paul also had writings. And you look at it and you say, well, it is so human. But you look at it again and you say, somehow it is divine. And that is the mystery of it. It is God breathed. And I'm going to show you some scriptures to illustrate just what took place, just to see how God describes what it says when all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means breathe into. All scripture is God breathed. Now, here's what we'll do. Let's see what David says in 2 Samuel, first of all. Turn to 2 Samuel. I just want you to see some of these scriptures and hear what David says he experienced. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and look at verse 2. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. Verse 1 will tell us what it's all about. Now, these are the last words of David, David the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised on high, Seth, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was upon my tongue. Do you understand? You say, it's David. Yes, it's David speaking. But he says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. Or it could be translated not only by me or in me, but here is that Spirit of God, God breathing, God inspiring. And he says, the Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was upon my tongue. David was speaking the words, but it was the word of God upon his tongue. Now I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And that is why I have told you that there are some buildings that are of God, others are not of God. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 28. Let's see if I can find it here. 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch of the temple, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper rooms thereof, and of the inner chambers thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit for the courts of the house of the Lord, and for all the chambers round about. David is telling you that this pattern that he gave to his son Solomon, he got directly from God. And if we had time, I could show you that Moses was told by God, you make it according to the pattern that I showed thee. These things came directly from God. One other scripture you must see. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Make it 12. Mark 12. Mark 12. And look at verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, as he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that the Christ is the son of David? David himself saith, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Don't you rejoice that the Savior said, David said in the Holy Spirit, he believed, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture was God-breathed. David said, the Spirit took me, used me, His word was upon my tongue. And the Lord Jesus said, David did say in the Holy Spirit. And this is all that I'm going to tell you tonight. But remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that for those who will have an open heart and will believe what is set forth in thy word, they have confidence in this book. May we not allow anyone, our Father, to cause to be reduced one whit our belief in its inspiration, in its origin of God, and at the same time, that no one convince us that man had nothing to do with it. David said the Spirit was in his tongue. We see, Father, how thy word is both divine and human, and thou dost describe it as God breathed, and it is profitable. And thy Son has said, not one jot or tittle shall fail. We pray, our Father, that our confidence in thy word shall be that of thy Son, and then all shall be well. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.